This is The Topic is Trek, episode 59 for Monday, January 20th, 2020. Coming up in this episode, Mind the Gap. Will Wheaton is back, but not in the way you might think. And Mars. Oh my. All that right now on The Topic is Trek. Borg in the UFP.
Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already.
Well, hello, everyone. You didn't expect to hear from us again so soon, did you?
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Exactly. And we're not the Spanish Inquisition, so you weren't expecting us. Or how does that? Doesn't matter. The point is we're back once again with another episode of The Topic is Trek. The topic is... There we go.
You didn't say the .com.
Well, the show title still
has me messed up. It has so many bad images coming with an American flag with the back end of a Borg. Courtney Cox getting up on stage, dancing with a Borg. It's all over the place. I'm reeling from the title.
Wherever your mind goes.
Assimilated.
Joining me as always are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hey, everybody.
No talk to. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Long time no speak.
So it would seem.
I wish we could continue that trend, Chuck. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Make it so, number one.
Man. All right. Well, last time around on the show, it was a very special episode of The Topic is Trek. We talked to Mark Lee about the premiere of Picard. Among many other things. And no, we've only the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you, tip of the iceberg. But right now we're going to continue because after Hollywood, there was more. And Chuck is going to start off with us on this as soon as we open up subspace chatter. Right, Charlie?
No, we don't need no subspace chatter. No.
Nope.
That's like... Yep. Charlie McCarthy, what is going on? No idea what's happening.
Subspace chatter.
There we go.
Well-oiled machine, I tell you, well-oiled machine. So, Chuck, take it away, please.
That's right, I can see straight. I'm laughing so hard.
Of course, get going.
And right after all that, in Hollywood, the cast of the... We missed over a story, I think. So,
well, that was my lead-in. And we talked about Hollywood.
There we go.
Ba-dum-dum. Yeah.
The cast was off to the fabulous London for the UK premiere, which took place on Wednesday, January 15th. In addition to the cast, several guests were spotted at the premiere, including Jason Isaacs. You know him better as Captain Lorca. Sir Patrick's longtime friend, Ian McKellen. Magneto. who shared a smooch with Stewart. It's a thing to do.
I think that's the first time they've ever done that.
I don't think so, Tim.
My favorite part, as a special publicity stunt, the Piccadilly Circus Underground Station was temporarily renamed. I think this should be a permanent thing. Picardilly Circus.
Wah, wah, wah.
Been there, love it, want a sign.
Yes, they're very, very colorful. And of course, we will have pictures of that and the premiere in London. If you go to the show notes for episode 59 over at the topic is
trek.com.
Now, you recall Mark talking about the setup that they had for the premiere in Hollywood. Well, what they did in London really was a step up from that. Not only did we have the renaming of Piccadilly Circus as Picardilly Circus, But they had a huge walkway with the letters of Star Trek in the Classic Trek font down the walkway that the celebrities were in front of. It was a very elaborate. Wow. The tube station had all different posters from Picard in it. It was a, you know, I think Hollywood is getting a little blasé about these premieres and openings, and London is happy to have them.
Sure, why not?
Well, we're talking about Picard. Big surprise. So in more Picard news, season two of the series has been officially confirmed. CBS All Access made the worst kept secret announcement right. on January 12th. We actually announced it on the January 3rd show. That's how bad that secret was.
Yeah. And January of 2019 is when
it's amazing how we did that. CBS also announced that Terry Metalis will be the new executive producer, taking over for Michael Chabon, who is departing to work on adapting his story, The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, for Showtime, mm-hmm. which is also a Viacom CBS company. Although Terry Metalis has been working on the reboot of MacGyver on CBS, he's also been working on Picard for some time now. But this is the part I find really interesting about this story, is that the unofficial word, something that CBS All Access would not confirm, is that in order to control costs and maximize schedules, seasons two and the unannounced season three will be written and filmed back to back. Now, this was not from some scandal sheet that I got that piece of information. This was from pretty reliable sources. And I think it makes some sense. You've got everybody assembled to work on this thing.
The sets are built.
You've got your tax break in place for it. And
it worked for Back to the Future.
Exactly. So we will see if that turns out to be true. But that is the unofficial word floating out there.
Well, unfortunately, Patrick Stewart's not getting any younger.
Are you sure? If you looked at photos, are you absolutely sure about that? Because I'm not convinced.
Time travel. One way or
the other.
He's still as sexy as he was back in 1980-something.
Well, the transporter accident when he became a child again.
Yeah. Right.
Well, let's move on to our next piece of news. Craig, take us away.
So let's talk about Discovery. You know what? Let's stay on Picard. How about that?
Okay.
Because like Star Trek Discovery, Picard is actually getting a new after show.
Yay!
Yeah, just like The Walking Dead and everything else. But this one's going to be called The Ready Room. And this series will be hosted by none other than Will Wheaton.
Did you say Will Wheaton?
Yeah. So actually, you know, the people were wondering if he was going to show up on Picard. Well, close.
Yeah.
After Picard. So, you know, of course, if that name sounds familiar, you know, Will Wheaton, you know who he is. But The Ready Room, that's because it was already the name of a Facebook-hosted after show for season two of Discovery.
Anyone watch that? Anyone?
No. It was on Facebook. I think exactly. I maybe caught it. I think I had trouble finding it, actually. Anyway, so in a tweet, CBS All Access says, "Watch it every Thursday after you watch Star Trek Picard for a deep dive into the latest episode." This seems to indicate that, unlike the old version of The Ready Room hosted by Naomi Kyle, this version will be on CBS All Access, making it more like Discovery's season of After Trek, which was hosted by Matt Mira, which is a friend of Will Wheaton's, if I'm not mistaken. If you're confused, just like us, you know, can't imagine why.
Yeah, essentially, we're hoping they didn't. I thought it was odd that they didn't really say, and almost by not saying, that it wasn't going to be on CBS All Access, one can assume that it will be on CBS All Access.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, if they're going to do it something posted on something outside of CBS Access to get interest into the show, maybe post it on YouTube or something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, just repost that show afterwards or something like that.
Put it on Netflix.
Wait, what?
Well, no. I think Picard is going to be on Netflix, but outside of the U.S., isn't that right?
No, it's going to be on Amazon Prime.
Amazon, I'm sorry. Discovery, I think, was
Discovery is on Netflix. all the streaming services. When one of the Star Trek shows shows up on Disney Plus, that's when you know we've reached saturation with the places to put it.
I can't keep it straight anymore.
All right, well, take us on to our next story, Chuck. Take us away.
I bet you think it's going to be about Picard.
I do.
Wrong.
I
don't.
Ooh.
I got the short straw. According to Alex Kurtzman, there are two more unannounced live-action Star Trek series in the works. That would mean these two shows would be in addition to Discovery, Picard, Section 31, Lower Decks, and the unnamed Nickelodeon series, and Short Treks, which they're calling their own series. Yep, that would bring the total up to 8 if you're counting them right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm counting 7, but okay.
Well, my math is not my strong suit, so we'll go with your number instead.
We have no idea if the new shows will be on CBS All Access or, like the Nick animated series, will branch out into other Viacom CBS outlets. So I did hear that. I heard some other rumors, but since we're not in the rumor mill here, we're going to let them go.
Right. I think we've all heard similar rumors, and we'll see what comes out of that. I do wonder, though, because we had this conversation before, and we heard Alex Kurtzman talk about the fact about not saturating with Trek to dole it out.
I think we passed that point.
Yeah. So, but then again, I was thinking about it, saying, well, if you haven't even announced the show yet, if it's in the preliminary stages of talking about it, it's quite possible that it would be a show that comes on when another show is finished. Say it was Picard, or if Discovery was over after 3 seasons or 4 seasons, whatever it is, then you have the replacement show lined up for after that. So maybe you wouldn't have 7 in rotation at once. You might have 5, which is still a lot, but lots of Trek. We should do a podcast about it.
We should start one. One of these days we will.
The topic is Trek.
And speaking of Discovery, Star Trek Discovery has been nominated for a GLAAD Media Award. The awards are given annually to media who portray fair, accurate, and inclusive representations of the LGBTQ community and the issues that affect their lives. Discovery will be in the Outstanding Drama category, along with fellow nominees The CW's Batwoman and Supergirl, Showtime's Billions and The L Word, Generation Q, HBO's Euphoria, BBC America's Killing Eve, Netflix's The Politician, FX's Pose, that's Pose, right?
I think so.
Pose the Posse.
I think Posse had 2 S's.
There you go. And obviously spelling is not my strong suit either. And Freeform's Shadowhunters. The award ceremony will take place on Thursday, March 19th at the Hilton Midtown in New York, and Thursday, April 16th at the Beverly Hilton in Los Angeles. Now, I'm assuming that means they don't announce the winners in both places. I think in the second ceremony, it's not going to surprise anymore who won. So I think they're splitting categories between those two places. I don't know. I'm confused. I can't add. I can't take me away, Craig. Take me to something interesting.
Let's talk about something we hadn't talked about since the last episode.
Okay.
New Star Trek movies. Let's go move to the cinematic universe here. So Holly, is moving ahead on his next Star Trek film, but it may not be what we assumed it would be. When Deadline asked Holly if his film would feature the J.J. Abrams cast, he said, "I have my own take of Star Trek, and I'm going to go back to what I loved about the series when a lot of franchises focus on what makes..." I don't know what it sounds like.
I was going to say, I seemed dead on, but whatever.
When a lot of franchises focus on makes it right. Okay. Anyway, so Star Trek is about exploration and humanity at its best, and diversity and creative problem solving. So I think essentially he was wanting to get away from just the action blockbuster and trying to make a Trek that was, a good story. And anyway, that's what he was going at. So he also seemed noncommittal about attempting to mesh his movie with the current roster of Star Trek properties at CBS All Access. Holly said, I should. I know Alex. There isn't a mandate from Paramount to connect it. So they're not forcing it on him yet. It's an open possibility. So,
which I found interesting, you know, post merger, you would think they'd be a bit more on the, we want to have that synergy.
Well, I think
working together.
Well, I think the whole point is that they're not really pushing on anything on him. Not, you know, they don't want him to just use their use this cast again because everybody's wanting it. You know, he's making the Trek that he wants, and he's not having to any pressure to also include the TV universe, or I'm gonna say TV, but you know, the streaming whatever universe. So I think it's pretty good as long as he can pull off a good story.
Right. That is the key.
Because you know, when we get executives pushing their weight around, we also don't get great material that comes out of that always.
I know. I hate pushy bosses. Chuck, do the next story.
Well done.
Wow. Ow. Hey, best segue ever.
Thank you.
He's going to make a sound clip of that. All right. It looks like Elon Musk was right. Again. When the latest U.S. defense authorization was signed, authorizing the United States Space Force, Musk tweeted...
Space Force! Sorry, had to do it.
Yeah. I was having Galaxy Quest flashbacks there for a second. Right after that, Musk tweeted, quote, Starfleet begins. We have a slight confirmation of that he might have been onto something, and it comes via the Air Force itself. As part of the transition, the 14th Air Force at Vandenberg Air Force Base was redesignated as Space Operations Command. Logically, the abbreviation would be SOC. However, its new designation is actually SPOC. That's right, America. You can sleep better tonight. Spock will now be in charge of protecting you from space.
That is just, it was just, it, you know, it couldn't possibly be a coincidence. I mean, they had to go with the, I think even in the press briefing, it's a lowercase p because, you know, it's, well, it's not really its own word.
It's a silent p.
They've done that before, though, for things that really didn't fit together, but they needed to borrow a letter from the other word.
But you know that, you know, somebody's looking at it going, oh, Spock? Oh, yeah, Spock. Okay, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, the kid's doctor.
That's right. That's right. Benjamin Spock is who it's well known for his space. He was, you know.
Rest well, America. Dr. Benjamin Spock is protecting you from space.
That's and your diapers. Logical.
Yeah, I don't know, something. All right. Well, not to be one-upped by Spock, Captain Kirk has his eyes on the stars. William Shatner has announced that he has pitched the idea of a TV show that would see him launched into space on board one of the commercial rockets scheduled to be launched as early as later this year.
Hey, by the way, I think this is funded by George Takei.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Want to get him out of here.
The 88-year-old actor told London's Mirror, quote, I've tried to sell a show, and I believe I have. It looks likely. When Shatner seemed reluctant to reveal any details, he noted the potential danger of the trip and insisted he wouldn't mind if it killed him. He added, what have I got to lose? Wow, Bill. Wow.
Yeah, right. What have I got mean, to lose?
Somebody geez. Think of the horses.
What about the Doberman's, Bill? Come on.
And that statue in the backyard.
Statue.
All right. I think we have one more story in subspace chatter.
Really? We do?
We really do.
Okay.
I could leave this one out. It's just too good.
And finally, in subspace chatter, that's this section of the show, legendary Hollywood prop house, Modern Props, is closing its doors after 42 years. 42. Why does that sound familiar?
The answer to everything.
Hey, not on this show, because on this show, the topic is Trek.
Oh.
Not the topic as the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That just doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
No.
Owner John Zabrukny cites the exit of production from Hollywood and his age, because he's now 72 years old, as the main reasons for the closure. He gave the Los Angeles Times a tour of his facility and pointed out one special prop, which he has affectionately come to be known as, quote, the most important device in the universe. You've seen it dozens of times in the movies and on TV. It's a pair of elongated glass tubes that glow variously in yellow, red, and orange. The prop has appeared in numerous Star Trek productions, including Next Generation, Wrath of Khan. William Shatner even made fun of the prop in a scene in Airplane 2, the sequel, which is at the end of that YouTube clip, and I laughed very hard when I watched it. It's like a Wilhelm scream of props in sci-fi movies. It's incredible how many places, and the fact that Star Trek kept using over and over and over.
It's absolutely amazing. And apparently, apparently it's a prop. I should have muted. I don't know why I didn't mute. I apologize to the listener. It is part of what he still had available at the store, but I don't think he's renting stuff anymore because the store is going to be closing. The rental place will be closing in January or February. And he said that he hoped that the remainder of the stuff that was there would be picked up by a museum or something to display this thing. And I just can't imagine this prop. And we do have a link to the YouTube video where it shows clip after clip after clip after clip after priceless clip of this thing in everything, the Incredible Hulk, you name it. It's in there. I just can't imagine that thing being trashed. I mean, it's got to go someplace.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. We got two volunteers already.
Hey, I wish I could take that prop and just carry it around at Dragon Con, but
it's not exactly carry around material.
No, it's the size of a kitchen, of a dining table. It's huge. And it comes with its own remote control, or, you know, things to work the lights.
It appears there were some modifications made along the way. There were a few different variations to it.
The lights changed a little bit.
Well, the light speed changed, but the end caps that are on the, I don't know if you want to call them an anode and a cathode in this case, but the table, sometimes it was on a table, sometimes it was mounted to a wall, sometimes it was on more of a cart. But
it has a handles up at the top of it, which I'm not sure they're always there. And I noticed them in the clip from The Last Starfighter where somebody's leaning against it. And they go, oh, there's another piece there I hadn't even noticed. And then it was there from then on. So I didn't go back and find out, was it there before? I don't know.
Yeah. It's also fun just to go, have I watched this before? Now I want to.
Now I want to Photoshop this into all kinds of movies that didn't have it at all.
It almost looks like it was Photoshop. Like, really? It was there? It was there.
It's amazing. Check out the clip over in the show notes for episode 59 over at thetopicistrek.com, and you can see the most important, device in the universe.
And how many stories didn't we cover this week?
Well, you'll be interested to know, 42. Oddly enough, 42. That's right. There were an additional 42 stories we did not have a chance to talk about. They made their sacrifice so we could give you the story about the most important device in the universe.
It's starting to sound like Technorama now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Side note, and I'll mention this because I'm pretty excited for it, is, you know, on Hulu, they've got Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series coming.
Okay.
And it's coming out next year.
What would that possibly have to do with 42? I don't understand what you're even inferring from that.
There's going to be 42 episodes?
It's the question you're actually looking for.
It is. That's true. That is true. And so I think that brings us back from our subspace chatter. We'll go with that. And it's time to head out on our main mission and a side quest sort of thing we've got going here.
Oh, we need an effect for this?
Yeah, but whatever you got.
It's like the first time we've done this show or something.
I can't find any intelligent life on this show.
messing with the show notes here. Oh, that was it, huh?
No, I've been struck from the show.
Sorry. We actually don't have the side quest. That was from the last episode. So we won't have to worry about a side quest. So you won't have to take an arrow to the knee or anything like that. So don't worry about it. But this time around on Short Treks, the final Short Treks episode of the season, Children of Mars, has premiered. And hopefully you've seen the episode.
I saw it before you.
I know. Well, that's not you guys. I'm talking about our listeners because we will be talking about it. So just in case, should we run it? Do you think? Should we run the spoiler alert?
Okay.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
It just makes we spent a lot of money on that, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
Craig laugh.
We did not buy the most important device in the universe because we spent all the money on that bit.
But if you were a dollar short, because
if you could visualize the most important device in the universe, it would look kind of like that sounds.
That's right.
Cheesy.
Exactly.
See, if you play that video of that prop and the sound that you just played, it's in sync.
Wow. It's totally Dark Side of the Moon, Wizard of Oz there, man. Okay, cool. All right. Well, Children of Mars, what can we say about it? Well, this is what CBS All Access had to say about it. 12-year-old classmates Kimma and Lil find themselves at odds with each other on a day that will change their lives forever.
Yeah.
And it does, because it kind of leads the last, what do you say, like minute and a half of this Short Trek is pretty much the lead into Picard.
I think so.
I laughed,
I cried, I shouted at the screen.
Exactly. Yeah. Essentially, the two girls, one of which is human, the other which is a race that's not identified in the Short Trek, go to, I'm assuming they're still on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Earth. They take a shuttle, but I think they're still on Earth when they go to the school. And
one of them makes it.
Yeah, that's right. One of them gets the first shuttle. Another one through no fault of their own had to take a different shuttle. And it's kind of a play back and forth of, you know, this, well, she did this, then she did this, then she did this, then she did this type of thing. And they end up in detention, essentially, for all these pranks that they're pulling. But that gets put to the side because suddenly Mars is attacked. And
instead of Mars doing the attacking.
That's right. And the thing you normally do when you have a school full of children, possibly some of whom are parents, are on
you
Mars.
You post it all over the TVs and every hallway.
Single,
yeah. I thought that was a little wrong.
So I wasn't sure what to make of this episode. My first thought after it was over was that if you weren't aware of any of the stuff that has to do with Picard, if you hadn't read the Countdown comic, if you hadn't been plugged into any of the stuff that's happening about the show, and you're just watching the short, you go, and then it just stops. You get to the point where they witness the attack, they hold hands in solidarity, and we're out.
Yep.
And I thought that was a little odd. We don't really get a chance to know these two characters all that well. And I have a feeling I went on Internet Movie Database and those two characters do not appear to be in Star Trek Picard, at least as of right now. So that was our one shot at these characters. And so I felt like we were left wanting a bit on getting more involved in this story before we got, the gut punch of this thing happening.
Well, it's obviously a big thing, because if you look at one of the Picard promos, there's Mars behind Picard outside the window and you see the explosions on it. So this is a big thing that affects Picard somehow, because he had a quote saying it's devastating. I stopped the video trying to read the screens.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple of clues about what's going on, but this is a big deal. And not only that, it's devastating. Do you want to talk about the connection with the comic?
Yes.
Okay. So Geordi's there. Geordi is there working on the fleet to help evacuate all of these planets that are in the wake of the supernova near Romulus. And so who knows if he's gone?
Well, no, because he appears in Picard.
Huh?
Well, he could. Well,
don't we already know he's part of the season one somewhere?
No, not.
No, Geordi. we know that he's in the comic.
Oh, and in the comic, okay.
In the comic, he is talking with Picard from Utopia Planitia, and I get the feeling that he's on the orbiting platform, which we see. Well, I think there were several in the shipyards, but we see those being pretty much blown to pieces.
They look like the space station from Wrath of Khan, I think.
Yeah. Voyage Home and Search for Spock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, they made quick work of those things, didn't they? Okay. So we don't know if Geordi made it. When it comes to Short Treks, though, I wouldn't count these characters out because I was watching an interview with Alex Kurtzman, and he said these are really a test bed of what works, what doesn't, who's got what talents. They said there was, I think it was a musician on Calypso that is now like the head chief musician for a whole series.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good.
It's really going to be interesting to see what works, what resonates with the audience, what doesn't. And so, you know, I wouldn't rule them out entirely to say that's the only place we'll ever see them. They may have a major role in season two we don't know about yet.
Okay. And there are a ton of little bits in the episode that if you go through it very slowly or watch a YouTube video where someone else has, you pick up on lots of little things. I mean, there are obvious things like we get a mention of Utopia Planitia, which...
Happy Earth Day. I mean, happy First Contact Day.
First Contact Day.
First Contact. So you know what day and month it was.
That's right.
School.
And which I thought is interesting because one of the other things, and Craig, you were talking about this, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but there was something else that was kind of like a first contactee, perhaps type of thing going on here in this episode when it refers to who inflicted these supposed 3,000 deaths on Mars. Mm-hmm. And that was Rogue Synths.
Yes. I did stop before I found it elsewhere. I did go looking through the video and I paused it and I was like, Rogue Synths. And then I remembered there's a whole room full of people, like almost like a scene from iRobot, you know, where they're all the people are the robot, I guess, I assume they're androids and they got tattoos on their forehead.
Yep.
You know, we talked about those guys before on the episode, on our show. And I wonder if those are the Rogue Synths that we're talking about. They're synthesized humans.
Now, another weird thing that I noticed, the ships that they're flying in, this kind of a wedge-shaped ship, in one of the trailers for Picard, those ships have on them, which means somebody had to digitally put them on them, a Starfleet insignia of some kind. You couldn't quite make out what it was, but it was very large.
The attacking ships?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
and
see
they
that.
They don't have them on them in the Short Treks Children of Mars.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that means they changed their mind that that's a reveal or whether they changed their mind on a backstory portion of what's going on here. I don't know, but you consciously have to go in and render it with and render it without.
Yeah.
So something.
I don't want them to reveal everything in the promo. I mean, look at even Marvel when they were doing Endgame, they had a couple of promos and they literally removed the Hulk or put the Hulk in a couple of scenes in the promo and he wasn't there or in those places or, you know, in the film. So I'd rather them, I don't know if I want to be misled, but I'd rather them not show me everything. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just kind of odd to bother to put in that specific shot. Yeah.
all right, let's spend $1,000. Well, Marvel can spend $10,000 on it.
Exactly.
On breakfast.
I noticed also a couple of things offhand. The school uniforms, you know, the first time you see the school uniforms, those colors said, wow, that's extremely reminiscent of Wrath of Khan era uniforms. You've got they've got a white shirt underneath it, mm-hmm. and then they've got red this jacket. Kind of piping on yep. parts of it that you could kind of see as that fold over piece from the uniform jackets type of thing. There is a poster on Lil's wall. It's really hard to see because it's an angle, but you can clearly make out the word Bajoran on that poster. But what the poster is for, you can't see it well enough to tell if it's a face. Is it the planet? Is there the wording on that? So I don't know whether that was a throwaway.
Kira for president.
Yeah, exactly. I also noticed that the United Federation of Planets logo was different again. This was very, very angular with the leaf branches, the olive leaf branches, and it had, you still had kind of the radar concentric circles, but there were three very bright stars on different points toward the center, very symmetrical. And then around there, you had dimmer stars. And so it didn't really look like the old series one. I would have to go in and take a look again. I'm not sure if it looked exactly like the one that's in Discovery. And I'm not sure what the significance is of having that particular setup, if there isn't. And I have to think, if you're going in and you're creating this thing, that you're probably going to be reusing it for Picard. So that appears to be the look of the UFP logo at that point. That was interesting.
I didn't catch that.
I also didn't know if I assume the guy was the headmaster or something at the school.
Yeah.
He had ears, but was he a Vulcan or was he a Romulan? Because as we know.
Yeah, he almost had more of a Romulan look to him.
I mean, the Romulans are being evacuated, so.
It just looked like he had more, there was like more curl to the ears. Maybe I'm just overanalyzing it.
I assumed he was Vulcan because of the way he reacted when he saw the news. I mean, he looked a little shaken, but not like emotional like the lady was.
Mm. So, well, the lady was human, so.
I think I think he was a Vulcan headmaster. I don't know.
And then when you think about this, you're going to think about circles within circles within circles. A fun thing to mull over is the name of the episode being Children of Mars. Hey,
the Vulcan was the principal.
There we go.
So it's in Memory Alpha, so it must be true.
Okay, it's true.
I was just cruising around there myself.
but do they say if he's Vulcan or Romulan?
This Vulcan was the principal.
Okay. All right.
How more sure can I be, Clinton?
I thought you were just saying he was the principal.
It literally says this Vulcan was the principal. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Mystery solved.
They didn't give him a name.
But I was thinking that Children of Mars, and if you remember your Roman mythology, the Children of Mars, the Roman god of war, Mars, are
Romulus and Remus.
And Remus.
Oh, look at there.
So it all comes full circle there.
And you know what? You add up all those letters and it equals 42.
Wow. Now, do I start with the or fun fact?
No. I don't know. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
And don't count because nobody's math is good tonight.
Not mine. All right.
So what did you guys think about the show? I mean, in general.
Like I said, I was getting involved in their story. And I felt like it was cut too short, that we really needed to get more of a sense of who they were. I mean, to feel their loss, I felt like you needed to connect with them more. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that the time was way too short to connect with them. That was my thoughts.
I connected. I was one of those people who got pushed around or locker slammed in my face.
Yeah.
Worked for me.
Well, I tell you, I certainly liked it because I was drawn in, and my wife is not necessarily a Trekkie, but she watched it with me and she said, that was really good. And I'll tell you why, because I felt their pain. Both of them were frustrated because their parents were stuck working on these ships. And then after I watched it, I went, oh, those are the ones that Geordi was working on.
Yeah.
And so they're, everybody's, you know, heads down working on that. So they're frustrated because they don't have their parents. So they take it out on each other, and then they end up coming together because of a commonality, which was the attack. And I thought it was really nice. Well done.
Okay. Very good. So recommendation for Children of Mars. And that, as I said, is the last Short Treks episode of this season. They haven't given, I don't think they've given word, but based on all the feedback that we've heard from Kurtzman, I would assume there'll be a season 3 of Short Treks as well. One of the best parts about it is it fills that void between series.
Yep.
And, you know, it takes a lot less effort on their part to produce these in a regular episode. So it keeps things going.
Great idea.
So, well done. All right. We are now coming back from our main mission and heading out to right where we are right now, because it's time for a Warp Speed Roundtable. And last... Oh, I didn't know the table had buttons. I'm sorry. I sat down. I think it was like a whoopee cushion that was intergalactic because it made noises. Last time, we resolved the totally unnecessary issue of how to kill someone who is transporting into a location.
We solved that one.
We did. We did.
Did we?
Well, yeah, just go with it, Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this time around, Sir Patrick has said that the Cardassians are not in season 1 of Picard. Now, we know that there's going to be a season 2 and potentially a season 3. So my question to you is, doesn't have to be the Cardassians. It doesn't have to be the Cardassians either. What alien race, could be major, could be minor, would you most like to see return in Picard? And if no one else has an initial thought, I can go first.
Go ahead, Glenn. You go first. We're always going.
I don't know the name of the alien race.
What kind of answer is that?
No, I don't know the name of the alien race. I refer to them as the gelatinous beings, the jellyfish in Encounter at Farpoint.
You want to see them back?
I want to see what the heck is up with them, you know?
There's going to be a bazillion of them because they multiplied.
So, you know, we just get a chance to see them for a split second, and then they're gone, and it's like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
And they'd have a connection with Picard because he set them free, so that could be interesting too. So that is my thought. Who wants to go next?
Go ahead, Chuck.
Man, so many to choose from. So many to choose from, because there were so many races that were mentioned that never got any airtime. There was the race that the old guy wiped out, the entire race of the Hustnak. But you know, since they're gone, we can't really bring them back. But can we? One of my favorites that I would just love to see, just for the pain factor, would be the pack lids. Teeth are for chewing. Those people. We are strong now. Just to get a good Picard palm plant on the forehead.
Yeah, smack. Actually, I was thinking, you know, after our show the other week, I thought, you know what? That would be the statue that needed Picard, him doing a face plant.
Yeah, you can see that in the courtyard at Starfleet Academy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't recognize your admiral. You have your face up, not in your bum, hidden by your hand.
Right.
I was thinking really hard.
Yes. What about you, Craig?
Well, I think because this race I chose, because I really think that everybody can really attach to their emotions. They emote so much. They bring so much to the screen when you watch them. It's easy to relate to them. That would be the Breen.
Yes. Always difficult to write dialogue for the Breen.
No, actually, I find it hard to imagine that we can't go through season two without seeing some Klingons. I want to see where the Klingons are at nowadays.
Mm. Right. Well, especially since the destruction of the Romulan homeworld, you would think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, we're dealing with the Romulans, I guess, to some degree. I don't know the whole, obviously, Picard, but we've read the comic. So see Romulans on the horizon, but I'm curious to see where it were. Actually, to be honest with you, because of the whole Dominion War, I'm curious where the Kardashians are.
See?
Yeah. What? You can't do it.
You messed me up. Isn't it?
The Cardassians are now, but I want to see some Klingons because, you know, Picard has a big history with Worf and the Klingons, and so I'd love to see how that plays out.
I don't know. Is Sisko an alien now? I don't know. What is
he's a corporeal prophet, or he's one of the prophets, isn't he?
So could see him back as like a glowy thing or something like that.
A force ghost.
Because remember, the topic is Trek. Yes. All right. Well, those are our thoughts. If you have some thoughts on what alien race you would like to see back in Picard season two, just to show up, maybe just kind of walking by or having a conversation with Jean-Luc in the vineyard, or who knows where they would be. Let us know over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetopicistrek. But for right now, it's about time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here. You can find me when I'm not here doing bad math at comedyforecast.com, all one word, with the number 4. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, MeWe, Instagram, various in-flight magazines, I don't know, at Comedy Forecast as well. And who speaks for you to?
Get out your D20, Craig.
Yeah, right here. Hold on. There it is. No, it's okay. I'll say. But anyway, if you want to find Chuck and I, go search the Googles for Technorama podcast. You'll find us everywhere that you'll find, you know, good podcasts are sold.
Excellent. Or for free. Free.
I'm sorry, for free. Yeah, it's all free. And you can also go to chuckchat.com/Technorama. You can find us there. And again, search for Technorama podcast. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and website and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, on that, it's time to hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't put on the red
shirt.
Ooh, I think we got part of it right.
I rolled a 2.
Why haven't we recorded that yet?
And did Craig say search the Googles?